The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Are your biases impacting the way you see the markets and your investments? It's really a fascinating topic. We're going to talk about that today, and it's going to be about the halo effect. I'm not talking about video games. What really matters, podcast starts now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan. We're not calling it the Peter McClellan Show anymore. It's really What Really Matters, and this really does matter. We're joined again today by Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And, you know, Jeff's been on a quest for a while. He's always been on a quest for knowledge. He's not just got that CFA behind his last name now, but he is, I think, our resident psychologist, too, because it is fascinating the way people respond and the biases we all have. To be a human being is to be biased. And to be an investment manager, you have to look at things as they really are, not as what everybody's saying. So, Jeff, tell me, you've read some fascinating books. This obviously is something even mentioning the halo effect, you know, which I read in your blog. We're not talking about the shooter video games that my kids like, you know, that's not Halo. No, and you'd have them listening in for sure if that's what we were talking about. No, but what is a halo effect, and how does it apply in this divisive, crazy, Trump's going to ruin the world, Trump's the best thing since sliced bread, this immense divide that's out there. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, gosh darn it, I wish I could go back to school. And I you know, all my kids, as they've gone to college, I've told them, hey, you never know when there's going to be a general ed class that you really wish, in hindsight, you had paid attention to. And for me, it's definitely psychology, because know it too. We're, as investment advisors and money managers, you're part counselor, and exactly. That's good. I love that about our jobs. And
yeah, me
and
too.
So as I stumbled across some more research as far as investor psychology goes, I've kind of gone on this, my daughter likes to binge watch Netflix. I guess I like to binge read books about the economy and mm-hmm. psychology. So the latest I'm on, so it started out with Misbehaving by Richard Thaler, and then it turned into The Undoing Project, which is by Michael Lewis, who did The Blind Side and The Big Short, amongst others. And then in one of his subjects was, I'm not even going to try to say his name, I talked about him last week, I'll just call him Danny. He's an Israeli psychologist. And he wrote a book that's more on psychology called Thinking Fast and Slow. And without boring everybody with the details, I just want to get into what he calls the halo effect. And essentially, it means that you kind of put this image of something that you like around something, and then that influences how you analyze that person or that subject.
All right, so now, back up a minute, though. What does it mean? I saw that in your blog, too. What does it mean to think fast? What does it mean to think slow?
Yeah, basically, he says your brain has two modes of thinking. You have system one, which is basically your instinct. You know, if we said, hey, Peter, what's 2 + 2? You'd know 4. You don't even have to think about it.
Right.
You know, what's your wife's name? Sally. You know, what's your kid's birthday? Hopefully you got those down.
I do. Got them down. I do.
You know, those things that are just right there, ready to recall, that's your system one. And then you have system two, which
hang on,
is more
hang on. I'm
of
in trouble.
Thinking.
I got my son, my oldest, and my youngest. I get their days mixed. One's in May, one's in November. But anyway, go ahead. I just thought about it. I'm in trouble. System one's not working.
My kids give me a hard time. Yeah, my kids give me a hard time because the only two I know exactly what time of day they were born was the twins, and they're like, oh well, Dad, that's your favorite, but that's because it was just a traumatic event. Anyways,
sure.
And it was more recent, which is a whole other bias that we could talk to on another show. But basically, so your system two is the one that does the processing and has to think, and it goes back through your memory and tries to recall things. However, what Danny has found is your system two, you might think, is a real rigorous, hardworking thing. But he said, imagine just the laziest thing possible, trying to get the quickest answer and then moving on. Mm. And so your system two uses shortcuts, what he calls heuristics, mm-hmm. to get to the answer. And what he's found through hundreds of different studies of the way we think, is whatever system one feeds it is the first starting point that system two goes from. So the halo effect is something like, you know, do you like the president's politics? If your answer is yes, and you ask him, well, what do you think of the way the president dresses? You're probably going to say, oh, I like it. Or what do you think of this speech he just gave? You're more likely to like it because you've already, system one has primed you into thinking, this is somebody I like, therefore I'm going to look for good things to say, and then I'll move on and I'll kick back and I'll relax until system one calls on me again.
I know you know people on both sides of the political spectrum. Does anybody like the hair?
I don't know.
All right.
Okay. I guess maybe somebody who's a Republican and bald might envy him.
Okay.
Or okay. The way he ties his ties. I mean, goodness gracious.
That's funny.
Well, in business school, they taught us how to tie ties. But okay. Anyways, I know what you're saying, but, you know, we were talking before the episode, you know, George Bush was a perfect example of, you know, one side thought he was a bumbling idiot, so everything he did was wrong, and the other side just thought, this is the most down-to-earth guy you can ask for. And then I would always point out their inconsistencies when they would criticize President Obama for his Hawaiian vacations. And I said, wait a minute. President Bush used to take the entire month of August to go play around on his farm.
Right.
You didn't have a problem with it. So it's that halo effect. If you're going to criticize things you don't like and you're going to praise things you do like. But what's even more important is what Danny started calling confirmation bias. And it's the way that system one will prime your system two. And the studies they did was things like, if you ask somebody, is Sam friendly? Your system two instantly is going to search for reasons that Sam is friendly. But if the question was asked, is Sam unfriendly? Then it's going to look for times, oh yeah, I remember that time that he didn't return my phone call or that he blew me off at church. Well, you look at what's happening in the media, and this ties it all back to what the title of the blog was this week, was Good Trump, Bad Trump.
Good Trump, Bad Trump.
And
yep.
And for the most part, minus Fox News, you don't hear anybody saying, is Donald Trump a good president? Is this a good policy? You hear this, you know, is Donald Trump a bad policy? Is he dangerous? Is he going to destroy America? Bloomberg, goodness gracious, they used to be neutral. I loved Bloomberg before because they were apolitical.
Right.
But these two idiots they had on this show called, with all due respect, it was supposed to be a fair and balanced political show.
Okay.
They spent the entire Republican primary telling everybody why Donald Trump would not win the presidency. They spent the entire election talking about how dangerous he would be. And now they just continue to really belittle anybody who dared vote for him. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's insulting whether you voted for him or not. If you're middle class or if you're a younger person and you felt like you've been neglected and ignored,
right,
that's most likely why you voted for Donald Trump, is because the political elite have, for the most part, on both sides, ignored that middle class, you know, 35 to 55-year-old American, and that's who supported Donald Trump. And so, I mean, the cover of Bloomberg Business Week is another bad Trump example, and you know it's going to bias the way you think of him.
All right, think about this then. If most of Wall Street had Hillary winning, most of Wall Street had, you know, a rally, and most of Wall Street is saying that, you know, with Trump having won, there was a rally, but yet, you know, a lot of people on Wall Street, you know, let's face it, there's a good chunk of people that are fairly liberal, if not fiscally, they're certainly socially in many cases. So what I'm wondering is, where do we go from here with this? What are you saying to people out there? Because there is a tremendous amount of what you're saying, that bias, that halo. If you hate him, you're going to look for reasons to hate him. If you really like him, you're going to look for all the reasons to confirm it. What do you say to investors? Because you're a money manager. You know, how do you avoid not getting swept up in this? You're human. I mean, you know, come on.
That's a great question. Yeah. And, you know, first of all, you know, anybody, you go to scmtradersblog.com, and I'm trying to look at both sides of the story. And that's the critical thing, whether you're an investor or a money manager or financial advisor, is let's take a step back and look at the data. You know, last week I put in, you know, reasons that, you know, the economy could just keep going, which means the market could keep going. And I've talked about, you know, some of the good things President Obama did, you know, even though it seemed like, you know, a lot of times we'd end up skewing him, but that was just because of some of the anti-business things he was doing. You just take a step back and look at the data, and you do what you're supposed to do in science. You know, if the hypothesis is Donald Trump a bad president, what you're actually trying to prove is the opposite. So you should be seeking out, is Donald Trump a good president? And if you can't prove that he's not, then you've got to go under that assumption, because that disproves your hypothesis. Unfortunately, that's just not the way our brains are worked. That confirmation bias of you're either going to change the channel if they disagree, you're going to unfriend somebody, you're going to delete the app from your phone if it doesn't give you what you want. You got to think, okay, how is my system 2 being primed to consider this situation? And is there a different way I should approach it? That's what we do with our money management. We stick to the data, what's coming out of the market, what's coming out of the economy. And if we like the president or not, it doesn't matter. I'm happy if the market's going up.
Well, that's true, right? If it's going up, it's a good thing, usually. It means people are making money, they're in the market.
Well, and if it's not, hopefully our systems keep doing what they've done all along and without emotion, whether it's we like the president or not. They move to the sidelines or into more defensive assets, and just we wait for a better time to invest.
All right. Now,
unemotional that it's appealing.
Okay. When you've gotten really, really basic about things, you've said before, for example, the perversity of much of what went on. And again, Bernanke, who was appointed by Bush, so this is not throwing stones at Mr. Obama now, right? But just saying, when the feds were running the table, so to speak, with the quantitative easing, it pushed the market way up. Today, the headlines were talking about good jobs numbers and some other things, and hey, the market looks to be applauding. What's your take on just a day like today when the market says that, now that it's not quantitative easing? What are you saying about it?
Yeah.
And you know there's anti-Trump out there.
Yeah, we've seen this shift, and I think this is kind of where we'll end it, is the market has stories that it focuses on, and then all of a sudden it becomes not a story. Ever since the election, the story has been, we're going to return to better than average growth because of Donald Trump's pro-business policies. And this goes back to what I talked about in my blog, is that is true. He has some very good pro-business policies, but you have to take a step back and say, does he have any bad business policies? And we've seen a bit of it this week. Some of the immigration stuff he's talked about, some of the protectionism that's going on, that might feel good to the American worker, but it's not necessarily a good thing because we haven't seen the other side of that story and that shoe to drop. So,
all right.
Well, again, take a step back this weekend, every piece of news, take the other side of it and say, why are they trying to influence me to believe this? Can I argue against them?
All right. So if people are burning down other homes or buildings or breaking windows, throwing rocks, I still wrestle with that, whether you're on the left or the right. I just think, you know, well, whatever. But anyway, we'll let that go. But SEM Traders blog, you want to look at this because it's good stuff. You can't afford, the average person, unless you're extremely wealthy and you just throw money all over the place willy-nilly, most people can simply, if you want to be sane about it, you don't want your emotions to override you. And there's a great potential right now from what Jeff's saying because of this halo effect. People are either giddy on one side or pessimistic and dreading. And that's not a good, it's a disparity that's enormous. We got to see what's actually happening. So I want to encourage you to SEM Traders blog. If you're local in Minnesota and you've never explored the merits of active money management, give us a call at the 401k Latte Company. And Jeff, we have something we say to people. Our tagline is,
invest in a conversation.
And do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.